Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 589. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of luck, Kevin. How about yourself?
There are some changes that will be made to the operations of Stunt Granny due to my job being located much further away from my house than I would prefer. Tonight is at least starting those efforts to start a little bit earlier in the evening. Hey, the WWE is ripe with news for us this week. I feel like we had a couple of lull weeks in between the last week. We really had a lot of things going on this week. And it did not debut on Raw or SmackDown, or Raw or NXT, but will be debuting on SmackDown, if I'm not correct. That's taking place for SmackDown, is it not?
Yes, tomorrow night is the debut of WWE Thunderdome.
And now, will I be seeing this view when I'm just watching Fox?
Yep, this is exactly what you'll see. You know, it's 1,000 LED panels with 1,000 members of the WWE Universe, their faces, plastered all over your TV. That's what you're going to see.
It is very strange.
Yeah, it's definitely... You're more of the design brain than I am with your professional background. What do you think of what you've seen so far of the look and feel of it?
Well, the first thing I thought, like, this is one that is, the shot that I'm looking at currently is one where it's basically the hard camera shot, and you're kind of getting lost with where the wrestlers are.
Yeah, you can. It's a still image, so you're not totally what we'll see. But yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it's a lot. It's very bright. They could use maybe some type of a universal background behind all of these faces. I think that might help. I've seen that.
Yeah,
mentioned.
Or even a darker, like, it would definitely need to be dark. Like, you kind of forget, like, at least half of wrestling shirts are black. So when you actually look at a physical crowd that's sitting down, there is a lot of darkness. And most arenas don't tend to have their seating, even if it's light colored, it doesn't tend to be bright colored. So, like, the backdrop a lot of times is definitely more muted than it is in this case. Like, it is very, very bright. Because, like, there are a couple of screens that the background are super green on. And it's just like, where are those people? Or are they just putting themselves on a background and other people are just, you know, you can tell that they're just literally at their house, you know, with no...
Yeah,
with no background going on.
People are literally at their house with no background. Yep. Yeah, even and it's very, very close. If you've watched any NBA games this season and postseason, they've got the LED boards, not as many and not as many people, but it's like the second row, but it's like the second level up. And you know they're there, but they're completely muted. I don't know what the sound is going to be like. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any actual action video of it. We'll not see that till tomorrow night. But yeah, it's definitely WWE is definitely taking what the idea the NBA had and making it very WWE, doing what they do, just blunt, beating you over the head with it.
Yeah, I mean, it would almost be fun if you did see, like, an aisle way with some of these monitors Like, that might help give it a vibe of being in the arena, too. Because they don't seem to have any discernible pattern, from what I can tell. Because there's some, like, little pockets where there aren't any heads, it would seem.
Yeah, there definitely are some blank pockets.
So, but yeah, which there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to that, which is kind of distracting, too.
Supposedly they, quote-unquote, sold out, even though they're not any, they're charging anybody for this yet. Yet.
That is a very key word to use.
Yeah. So tomorrow, I guess it will be all 1,000... 1,000 screens filled with people.
Oh. Yeah, so I can't imagine that it's going to be that much different come over overnight. And it is one of those things that it will be interesting to see, like you said, like there isn't any video of this. It's all just, it's just a handful of still shots. Honestly, yeah. Like, it's, I only see, like, maybe three or four, and that's, I hate to completely bag on any design, it definitely is something that, makes sense from, trying to get fans, involved point of view, I don't know what it does for you. Like, I don't know if your camera angle view is better because you're on there. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's supposed. I mean, they're obviously supposed to be a live audience, but they're just watching it on a webcam on their computer. It's a completely, still a completely different, you know, mindset than when you're in an arena. I was like, I don't know what the audio level situation is going to be. I don't know if people are going to be encouraged to cheer or boo, or if in general it's going to be muted with, you know, virtual crowd noise piped in. There's still a lot we don't know about how it's going to present itself, so I don't want to, bag on it too badly, especially if I have to walk that back in a couple nights. It's definitely a jarring, I mean, in the beginning, at the very least, it's going to be a jarring experience. They're probably going to have to experiment with this as time goes on and make changes as they go.
Yeah,
which they definitely also did with the shows at the Performance Center. That was ended up being a work in progress as well.
Right.
Almost to the bitter end.
Yeah, this one gives me a very, because they are at Amway Arena for this also, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Does give them a little more volume to deal with and put up such things. Because, the Performance Center was a little too small to play too many tricks. And
right,
they,
yes.
Have they been... because NXT hasn't been at Full Sail, has it? It's just been at the Performance Center also.
No. NXT has been back at Full Sail.
Oh, okay.
For a while, and they're going to stay at Full Sail. Yeah, NXT but then TakeOvers, I don't believe, is using the Thunderdome at all.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, they will be at Full Sail doing the Performance Center trainee crowd still for the foreseeable future.
Gotcha. Okay. I couldn't remember if they were at Full Sail, but yeah, it will help for the WWE to be in a different setting. I guess it'll be interesting to see what they do. Like, I guess I'm still kind of interested. Like, it kind of looks wacky to me. It looks like, it reminds me of Max Headroom from all those years ago, and I hope other people are old enough to get that reference.
Some people have compared it to a Guess Who board.
Oh, yeah.
The old board game, the old child.
Yep.
Game from when we were kids.
That could definitely be the case. A couple of these people with green backgrounds, I was already thinking that I could flip them down. Does your man have a green background? No. Anyway, I hope you play Guess Who also, people. Since there isn't much to say on that, something that does also seem to be in the story front for the WWE is the fact that one Renee Young appears to be set to leave the company.
What are your thoughts? I'm thinking that she's not been utilized by WWE directly for a while now because she was doing the work with Fox Sports on FS1 for the WWE Backstage show.
Yeah.
That in some ways, it seemed like it was kind of like one of her dream things that she wanted to do a show like that. But in the end, between the platform of the FS1 channel not being strong and just the idea of that kind of sports analysis show about WWE and wrestling, that type of show, I guess I tried to watch several episodes. It just didn't work.
Oh. Yeah, it did seem like a good idea, and she does seem to like hosting duties more than the backstage commentary stuff, even though she is very good at the backstage commentary stuff.
Yeah, interviewing, she's very good at interviewing, although, interviewers, it's been said to death, aren't allowed to have the latitude and the personality that, the measuring stick for all interviewers Mean Gene Okerlund was able to have back in the day. She is definitely the best and was able to, have her, personality shine through more than the other, women they've hired, and even, some of the dudes they've hired over the years to play that role. No, she is definitely the best. She is, as far as an interviewer and a host is concerned, she is, in WWE history, I would put her number two behind Okerlund. I really would.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely got a lot of traction early in her WWE run, and she's done really good work, I think, and I guess I would not be surprised if she gets picked up elsewhere. I don't know if she necessarily wants to go to AEW.
No, I don't think that. I mean, I think that would almost be more like a last resort type thing for her, unless she really, really wants to spend all of her time with her husband. But she's been too good for wrestling pretty much since day one, really. As far as, she would fit in at any sports show, any entertainment show. She could host just about anything. She is, she is born to do, to host a television show. And there are, higher end, higher brow TV shows that I think that she would be excellent at working at. So, it would be almost almost disappointing if AEW is her next step in her life.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, having her on your team isn't, I can understand wanting to build around Jon Moxley. One of the pretty early, grievance filers in the WWE system. I'll still never forget that first Austin interview that bombed so poorly, and just things did not go well after that for Mr. Moxley, while he was Dean Ambrose, pretty much from that point forward. But, like you said, Renee Young has or I, we both are assuming, I guess we should maybe say, that she's going to have a better gig than AEW with a larger platform. And as well as AEW is doing, yeah, I would think that she'd be able to do something, you know, in a bigger way. So it'll be interesting to see what she does end up doing. But, you know, let the speculation begin. I'm sure that this is going to be like, there aren't too many announcers that, you know, I honestly forgot about Jonathan Coachman at some point after he left. I do not think I will probably pay attention to what, Renee Young ends up doing in the future.
Yeah, no, I look forward to seeing her elsewhere. I think that it's, you can argue it was time years ago. When Charlie Caruso got the gig where she got to do both WWE and ESPN, that was interesting. That, you know, that Renee didn't get offered that type of a deal. That they, you know, that they offered it to Charlie, but I don't know as much about Charlie's background, and I think that Charlie does have more of a legit news background. In fact, I know that because I know one of the people we've been in wrestling groups with, Jared, who is a sports anchor at a, you know, station in North Carolina, has actually worked with her in the past, so she does have more legit, you know, news experience. So I guess that's why, you know, Charlie would have gotten that gig over Renee, but Renee obviously could easily just slip right into any kind of role like that, in my opinion. So,
she did host a show on the Canadian station that she was on, if I'm not mistaken.
It was actually a wrestling based talk show up there that was, you know, somewhat popular, and she, you know, that's how she got the WWE gig, and she's been with WWE about 8 years, which,
yeah,
you know what? Mean Gene Okerlund was only with the WWF for nine years.
Oh,
he left to go right to another wrestling company, but, you know, it's again a similar run, a longer run than any of the other hosts / interviewers, you know, ever had,
and even some of the Keller commentators, honestly.
Yeah, she's had a good run. There were moments that you could, you know, she seems like the type that kind of, you know, wears her heart on her sleeve, and, you know, can be a little maybe passive aggressive on her social media profiles. Oh, if she's happy with her place at professionally or not. You know, she was definitely, you know, pretty brokenhearted at, you know, when Talking Smack was canceled. She was doing an interview, a very, you know, personality profile type interview series, you know, in the early days of the network when that got canceled. Yeah, things like that, you know, that just didn't last. You could tell that bothered her, and, you know, she did what was the best with what was, you know, available for her to do. She always brought her best, and I'm not gonna, you know, sit here and call a, you know say that, you know, she was underutilized.
Oh,
to a great degree. I mean, she had a good run. It's just a different. It's kind of a different. I made the point. It's kind of a different business now. It's, you know, almost, you know, the entirety of WWE TV is, you know, in arena with, you know, live matches, you know, in prime time. There's no more studio shows like, you know, Okerlund would host from, you know, the WWF studios, and, you know, throw to this match here, this interview there. There's nothing like that anymore. They don't do the event center reports where they run down the pay-per-view card anymore. They don't, you know, they just don't do any studio type shows anymore. You know, it's all live action shows, and
I guess that
changeover started in the Monday Night War era when, you know, it was determined that when you did stuff from a studio, people tuned out and went to the other show, and that mindset, you know, kept on. So
Yeah, the only thing that I would say is studio-like now are the pay-per-view pre-shows.
Yeah, and she was doing that forever until they put her on commentary. I haven't enjoyed any one of those since she stopped doing that either.
Yeah, I can't say that I watched them with her. So, if she's not doing them, then yes, they are probably worse. But yeah, I guess I am a little bit surprised, kind of, all things considered, that they didn't, use her a little bit more in the recent past here. But I mean, she has popped up more as an interviewer, I feel like, on TV as of late than she had in quite some time.
Yeah, well, that went along with the cancellation of WWE Backstage, yeah. So, you know, she went back to... It'd be interesting if she actually does still have a valid contract with Fox Sports. They could just slide her in anywhere else. Also, possibly a decision, a major factor in her decision, her recent bout with COVID-19 that she got from someone at the WWE Performance Center during work. You know, it had gotten into the reports that, you know, her and John were not happy. Very detailed reports were in the Wrestling Observer. You know,
oh, okay.
Essentially saying that they were absolutely mad as hell and talking to Dave about it. And if the rumors or some rumors that I've heard are true, Vince nor Triple H nor Stephanie nor any executive in that company even bothered to call her and ask her if she was okay, which I could understand how that could be very upsetting and lead to, you know, a decision like this.
Yeah, that would leave a little salt in the old wound there, especially if their facility is your confirmed place of origin for that pathogen. I definitely stand by her if that's part of her problem, but yeah, like you said, like there isn't anything else for her to do there, like. As much as I don't think the Keller commentary thing was working, maybe if she were actually away from Corey Graves, it would be a good thing. I know that they were good friends, but it never seemed to translate when they were behind the mics together, except for on their podcasts.
You can tell they're very good friends, but yeah, that chemistry never came through. Once again, she did as good a job as anyone could do in that situation. It was never, I mean, somehow the three-man booth with Tom Phillips, Byron Saxton, and Samoa Joe is actually gelling very well, and better than most three-person booths, I would say.
Yeah.
But any three-person booth that's ever been with Cole, Graves, and anyone else has never worked. Mostly due to Corey Graves being an asshole. I'm just going to say that. I actually, for the most part, liked Cole and Graves, just the two of them.
Yeah, Cole knows how to...
Once in a while.
What'd you say?
With Alien Sasha jumping in every once in a while.
Oh. Yeah, the occasional Asuka doesn't hurt either. But Cole and Graves work off of each other fairly well. I still think that Graves has kind of gotten to the point where it's just like, you tell that Vince just got to him at some point, and it's just like, okay. You know, a whole excitement about what he brought to the booth is completely gone now for me.
Right.
But he is at least, like, not annoying. So I suppose that's a plus. It's just kind of... Well, Cole knows how to work with him, I guess, is what kind of helps. And he doesn't have wimpy responses like Byron Saxton does to everything that Corey Graves throws his way. So that kind of helps the dynamic a lot. And Michael Cole, yeah, like, I guess people think about long-term commentators for the WWE, but really, it's just Cole and JR. You know, I guess Lawler. You could count Lawler too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, they have not found, you know, that team that they can keep together for. Well, I mean the play. Well, I mean JR was the main play by play guy for, you know, 10-15 years. And now Cole's been in spot for over 10 years.
Oh,
so
right.
Really, it's kind of more of a revolving door of color commentators.
Yeah,
and plus having two Joes. Because now there's not, you know, the complete, you know, the separation of Raw. Well, I should say that. Well, JR would always be on Raw. Cole would always be on SmackDown. And Raw definitely, even then, you know, got to be known as the Ace Show. And then when they put JR out, well, first they tried to move JR to SmackDown before he would. Yeah, I don't want to go into that whole timeline.
Yeah, I don't think we need to do that.
Hopefully they stick with Tom. At this point, hopefully they stick with Tom Phillips as the main voice of Raw.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things. I didn't.
Unless they find someone better, but in general, they got to. I think they got to stick. They got to stick with the team for a while.
Yeah, I do. I do seem to like them. They do work better as a three-man booth than most three-person booths do. And I did kind of like that. I'm cool with Tom Phillips getting booted off of NXT to make room for Vic Joseph to do more work.
Yeah, I don't know why that wasn't done a while ago, unless there was something going with Vic Joseph. I totally understand why, you know, why Beth and Moro are doing announcing from home. I do understand that.
Oh, right.
But it was weird to have the lead announcer of Monday Night Raw playing a subservient role to Moro Ronaldo while Moro Ronaldo wasn't even actually in the building. It was a, and even a couple times, Tom was almost being heelish at points, just to add a devil's advocate voice to the NXT commentary, and that was just weird.
Yeah,
he's on Raw, so yeah, I'm glad that they've shifted him away from NXT completely. And yes, and I have liked Vic Joseph from what I've heard of him, and you know, it was in the commentary changes of last year. At, you know, Tom and Byron just got completely screwed over for no fault of their own.
Oh.
Then.
Yeah. It's been a bizarre set of announcing moves within. Like, obviously, Cole and Graves have stayed together, but everyone else has kind of been shifted around for shoulder shrugs reasons in the meantime.
Yeah, there was the whole weird Dio Madden bit when he had zero broadcast experience, and you know Vic was good. You know, bringing Lawler back at all is just a mistake at this point. You just bring stuff into the table anymore. And then you know, then Vic was taken out, and Tom and Byron were put back in. Then, you know, Samoa Joe seemingly out. I don't know if Samoa Joe's out for good. he keeps sticking his nose in Seth's business. So I don't know if that's going to lead anywhere or not. Honestly, at this point in Joe's life, he should probably just stay behind the booth. I kind of feel bad about saying it, but just stick behind that booth for get a long run behind that booth. Still make good money. You know, get health insurance, life insurance, 401k. Don't take any more bumps, because it seems like Joe's last injury took place during a commercial shoot, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, he has certainly had a bad run of injury luck since he's been in the WWE. And, yeah, his kind of uniqueness has not been beaten out of him yet, so I will take it while I can get it, until hopefully Vince is too tired to completely beat the Samoa Joe out of Samoa Joe, in the meantime, because yeah, like he can attack Byron, and then Byron doesn't kind of sound like a complete weakling when he's answering Samoa Joe back. Like, yeah, Samoa Joe razzes him in a different way than Corey Graves did.
Because you know that Samoa Joe would beat the crap out of Byron Saxton. Byron Saxton should not be taking crap from skinny Corey Graves. And it was even worse when Booker T was taking his crap and not backhanding him. Of course.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess there are some layers that kind of make things work better for them now and not previously. But I do think that Byron isn't as skittish for whatever reason around Samoa Joe. Not that he's trying to get tough guy on him, but you know, I just think he's a little more sure of his answers when he's trying to make a comeback. Which is an improvement. Yeah, all because Renee Young was leaving.
Yeah.
Oh man, and what? I believe that what, as far as everyone knows, she's at least working SummerSlam, and that could be her last date.
I believe that's what's been said. She has made no public statement at all. She is just working on her cookbook and cooking at home with her husband right now. Completely unbothered by any of this.
As she should be. I don't... You know, it kind of is what it is. Even if she does just go to AEW, like... Yeah. If you're going to get paid what you want to do. And if you don't feel like being in the WWE simply because of the whole no outreach during COVID time, that's completely acceptable by me. But, you know, I guess we've already said, like, I guess I'm expecting more out of her because, yeah, she kind of seems like a... The Rock of announcers, like she really could have been out. Like I do remember when those ESPN rumors surfaced first, I was like, "Oh yeah, she's gone." Like I remember how thinking how much of a sure thing that was. So I would hope that she's still in that position now. Well, I guess we should actually talk about some wrestling since. And maybe warn everyone that there's at least going to be a Saturday evening after NXT podcast. This is probably a good place to put that since most of our talk will be centered around there's a trio of events this weekend, honestly. So there's a lot of build up for NXT, the WWE in general, since SummerSlam is on Sunday, and then Dynamite has their special on Saturday evening also. So this is a very wrestling heavy weekend, yeah, more so than normal.
Most wrestling heavy weekend since before COVID hit. Yeah. I mean, WrestleMania was two nights, but it didn't feel like this with another promotion running. I know there's also also independent wrestling events running with small crowds that will be on across Fight TV and independentwrestling.tv as well. But you know the two big leagues are definitely running hard this weekend. AEW and NXT were not head to head on Wednesday night, but they will be head to head for an hour on Saturday as AEW Dynamite is on TNT at 6 p.m. Maybe at 6 p.m. Time tentative due to TNT basketball coverage.
If anyone has
that set on their DVR, might want to give that at least an extra half hour, just in case AEW doesn't air right at 6 o'clock.
I think there's a solid possibility that will be the case. AEW had to do all their build up to their event last week, since they did not air this Wednesday because of.
It's not really an event. It's basically just a regular episode of Dynamite. There's nothing very special on this show. In fact, I'm actually kind of disappointed at the lineup. I think they could have done more to make sure that people tune in at an odd day and time.
I don't know. Maybe they're just figuring that people set their DVRs and it's just going to record, whether it's Wednesday night or Saturday night. And I'm hoping that my DVR does that. I'm not counting on it, but I'm hoping that it does. Because
I've already set mine. I already made sure to set mine.
I did find myself oddly going, oh, why isn't AEW here? As I got ready to watch NXT last night, and then it did quickly dawn on me why exactly. I did not see that on my TV. You know, I guess what do you think was the go home quality of NXT this week?
There were definitely some things I really like. I mean, I guess I'm gonna ask you, what did you think of Pat McAfee's promo?
he does a good job of talking. I think you can. You know, I guess I always feel like any talk show host should be able to fit into those shoes. And he really seems more comfortable than most. Like, I always remember being surprised by how comfortable Jon Stewart felt there. But, you know, talking trash is something that I feel like Pat McAfee has done during his NFL career, despite his choice in positions. and I feel like that
Hunters win championships. What are you talking about?
And I believe, if from all things, he did do a pretty decent job of punting. For whatever reason, he seemed to have developed a very well honed sense of trash talk, and it does really work. And I think really this promo, if you didn't think it before, for whatever reason, Pat McAfee is definitely the heel in this situation. They haven't said that Adam Cole is a babyface necessarily, but they're definitely playing off McAfee as the instigator in this situation.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's definitely the dynamic here, and it's the right dynamic. You know, Pat McAfee especially in this realm, not a particularly likable guy. I can say that I have not enjoyed him, any of the guest analyst stuff he's done, or anything they've done with him. So he was already a heel with me, but he channeled that in the right direction on Wednesday. You know, got me into this the idea of this match more than I certainly had been the previous week. You know, the setting it up as this brash former football player thinking he can just walk into the professional wrestling ring and beat a former world champion. And Adam Cole defending the honor of the wrestling business. I think it's good. And once again, the whole setup to this angle and this match was a little clumsy, in execution for, ever since the incident on Pat's radio show. As I said, it really didn't, the punt kick to Adam Cole, that was good, but otherwise, really, I don't feel like it really heated up until this Wednesday night NXT, and it's actually got me thinking that there could be some more life in this, and maybe Adam Cole shouldn't just beat him.
I guess it'll be interesting to see what kind of wrestler Pat McAfee is. Like, there's certainly been those sports players that have adapted well and quickly and have made for a passable match. I mean, honestly, I still remember being fairly surprised by Snooki. I'm not going to put that in the Hall of Fame of quality celebrity wrestling matches. But, she at least really brought some, pizzazz to the role to help kind of sell things. And by all means, it does look like Pat McAfee is still in pretty good shape. He did have to do something athletic for a career. So you would think that he has kind of been in training for this, at least for a little bit. And that, just from a sheer sportsmanship kind of a way, that you would think that he'd be motivated to at least do reasonably well. I guess that would be my only concern with already being ready to move into another feud. Like, he's got to at least, I'm not expecting him to be Ronda Rousey in the ring. Either.
Oh no, I don't expect him. I don't expect him to do much more than continue feuding with Adam Cole, and I don't know if his football buddies he brought with him have any interest in wrestling themselves. But you could, if they do, then you could certainly get an 8-man tag out of that, or even War Games, because that's, I believe, still coming up.
Yeah, you could do something like that. I have no idea who. I don't remember if I noticed anyone that was with him necessarily. And the write-up that I'm looking at is not giving anything away either. The NXT card looks pretty fun. Like, that should be a good match. I'm still surprised that Johnny Gargano is still alive after that that bump that he took from Ridge Holland. I'm like, oh my god, that looked terrible.
That looked really, really bad. That was all on Ridge Holland. It looked like, yeah, that I was surprised that, if this was taped a week ago, I'm kind of shocked they kept it in. But they were able to recover quickly enough and make it look like Gargano was playing possum the whole time. But yeah, you could tell he was absolutely rocked by that and sore, but does not appear to have any serious injuries that will prevent him from being in a ladder match on Saturday. Because when you have a neck injury, a ladder match is definitely what you want to be doing.
Oh, well, it's probably not the thing that you should really be doing to your body anyway. But wrestlers do that to themselves all the time. So I guess whatever. I've grown immune to that part of the issue. They're grown ass adults. If they're not cutting themselves off, then That's on them. I think there's enough information out there now that you can make a decision for yourself. Although that would be another strange, oh, we got replace someone else in this ladder match since Dexter Lumis already got chucked out of it.
This ladder match has been kind of snake bitten. I'm even not talking about that one fella. It's an odd mix in this ladder match. They're definitely Bronson Reed
Oh.
and Priest and
Yeah,
oh
'cause
yeah,
it was one of those things, honestly,
Cameron
speaking
Grimes.
of Ridge Holland, it was almost one of those things where I was kind of surprised he didn't beat Gargano just because it is all kind of relatively new guys. I know that Damian Priest has been around longer than some of the other ones, and he's had a little more spotlight, but he hasn't really won the big feuds when he's been in them. So
No, he's pretty much lost all the time.
I mean, he could really use kind of a big win. They've done a decent job of building up Bronson Reed ever since he got his ass handed to him by Karrion Kross. And I guess I forgot about that. I don't know if those were real or not, but were there actual photos of Karrion Kross with the NXT title that were out in circulation? Because I know that I saw one.
I
Supposedly
do
from
not know
WWE
I do not
Shop.
know the validity of those photos. I mean the
Okay.
belt absolutely looked photoshopped. Now, granted, WWE has put out promotional photos that where belts and things of the like have looked photoshopped. So I don't know. I mean, it was definitely from. It looked like it was from a WWE a Twitter post, but
Oh.
I didn't see the actual post. I don't. I can't follow a feed like WWE. They just send out a tweet like once a minute. I can't I can't deal with that.
Oh man. Yeah, I think Stunt Granny follows them, but I'm not sure that I see every tweet from them because I don't like that many tweets from them. So I don't think they pop up as frequently as some others. Oh, and why did I Oh, yeah, because I was kind of talking about all the new guys in the ladder match, and yeah, Voldemort, maybe as we can call him, is another one of those guys that I guess I was a little bit surprised that he ended up picking up the win over Finn Balor, who equally has been a lot of tough talk, but ultimately has probably gone 50-50 in his big match career back in NXT.
Finn Balor in NXT has not delivered the results that they were hoping for. I mean, in today's WWE, I don't know if anyone's that big of a draw, and Finn Balor has never been pushed to even that level. It really hasn't helped NXT, and if anything, it's downgraded Finn Balor, and he's lost several matches during his NXT career that I'm not gonna say he shouldn't have because it's nice to put people over and whatnot, and hopefully he's doing that thing where he's just jobbing out of the territory. I don't think there's anything really left for Finn Balor to do on NXT. They never, whatever the potential for Finn Balor returning to NXT was, they certainly haven't lived up to it. I know they've added a match to the NXT card where Finn Balor is taking on Timothy Thatcher. Thatcher was doing really well until they had to have him take that submission loss to Dexter Lumis in the triple threat match, which I do not, I don't get.
Yeah, all. I mean,
why they had to do that.
They tried to cover it up with the pass out, because he didn't actually tap out, did he?
No, it was a pass out, but...
Yeah, that was their protection. I'm not saying it's the right protection, I'm just saying that that's what they were using as their out.
No, I don't wish injury on anyone, but I don't, but Loomis is no good, and he should not be getting pushed. Period. End of discussion.
Yeah, I don't have that much of a problem with him. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't, for all the holding back they have done of other talents because they can't speak English, it's kind of weird that you've pushed a guy who ostensibly doesn't do any mic work. And it just seems a little confusing to me in general. But NXT is a little bit different of a world than main roster WWE. So there is that to be said about the whole situation. I guess it'll be interesting to see who takes the belt over, because there isn't any... To me, there isn't a clear-cut favorite. Like, Voldemort and Gargano are rehashes. I guess it'd be fun to see Damian Priest or Bronson Reed get a big win. And I'm trying to think of who else is in that match.
Cameron Grimes.
Oh, Cameron Grimes. Yeah, he's another guy that they've given them a lot of TV time. And a decent chunk of mic time, and he's quite enjoyable. So he would be pretty interesting if they decided to give the title to him and let him run with it.
Yeah, if anything, I guess he'd be my pick in that regard. Especially someone who could still have a longish run in NXT. I could certainly see Damian Priest being someone that, you know, earmarked for the main roster sooner than later. I don't know about Reed. I'm not totally sold on him. His being pushed is still, you know, new enough that I'm still not sure about him. Obviously, as you said, the other two have already been North American champions themselves. So yeah, no. I guess if I had to make a pick, it would be Cameron Grimes.
Okie dokie. Well, I didn't think that we were making this particularly a prediction show, but that seems like a good enough one for me. I do think it's going to be one of those three, but I'm kind of with you that I think Bronson Reed out of those three is kind of maybe what I'd call the dark horse of the three. I'd more expect Grimes or Damian Priest to come up with the W in that situation. And I guess that, because there wasn't anything too crazy with the ladies' matches. They did nice setup for those, but... was there anything with Io Shirai? And I guess that we can kind of talk about the minor comeback of Raquel Gonzalez for as Dakota Kai's protector. But
yeah, I mean they've done well protecting Raquel Gonzalez and showing her off. It's almost like we're kind of already looking past the Dakota Kai challenge of Io Shirai and moving on to Raquel Gonzalez as the real threat, if that's the direction they want to go with it. Coming out of Saturday, we will see. Once again, Io Shirai is another one. You could bring her to Raw or SmackDown any time, and she would fit right in and probably excel. So you could get that women's title off her at any time. But I could see them keeping on her for a little while longer.
NXT usually does a pretty decent job of having long runs. So I'd be pretty surprised if she dropped it this quickly. Or even, you know, in a subsequent feud with a Raquel Gonzalez. If that's the route they end up going. So yeah, and I guess we got the Rhea Ripley Mercedes Martinez beef match. And
that's not on TakeOver.
Oh, that's not on TakeOver. Is that on just NXT this coming week then?
I've not seen anything where they announced a singles match with them.
Oh.
Unless I'm missing something. I don't believe that anything with them has been announced.
Oh, well then I was jumping ahead of myself, evidently. I was just assuming that was listed as one of the matches for TakeOver. But TakeOvers do tend to be pretty tight to the... Because, what, they usually run about 2.5 hours at the most?
Yeah, about
3 hours?
Yeah, 2.5 to 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah, they don't... They try not to make those too long, which I always appreciate. So, yeah, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Martinez and her get bumped from the card just from a timing aspect. I guess anything to talk about Raw-wise? Because
we didn't talk about Keith Lee and Karrion Kross.
Oh, well, shit. Well,
talk about the main event, Kev.
Well, it wasn't the main event, though.
It's the main event of TakeOver.
It's the main event of TakeOver, but it wasn't the main event of the show. That's why I forgot about it. We talked about the match that that went after that. But I don't know. I guess I'm just looking forward to the Karrion Kross Keith Lee match. It should be a good one. Oh, and I did reference the supposed title change graphic. And
yeah, you did do that. You did do that.
But I mean, to me, if you're not moving Keith Lee up to the main roster immediately, if he's taking the loss to Karrion Kross, which is kind of fine with the way that they've built up Kross,
he just has to be gone.
Like,
yeah, you can't build up Kross like that and not give him the title. I think that, yeah, this is about getting Keith Lee that quickie reign so that when he goes up to Raw or SmackDown, they can call him a former NXT champion. Because if you really think about it, it's silly to bring people up to the main roster if they've never been champion in NXT.
A little bit, yeah.
If you really think about it, people with like a 50-50 win-loss record in NXT, maybe even less than that, like Elias, get to go up to the main roster. What sense does that make?
That kind of worked out because I feel like he ended up fitting on the main roster more than on NXT.
It absolutely did,
but it was weird.
I don't really ever talk about NXT during the context of the show being a feeder system to WWE, but it's always weird when, you know, you got these people who've been in NXT for 5 years or so, and then, like, Gargano and Ciampa, and then you got your Corbins and your Eliases going up after like a year or things like that. So I think it'd be nice to, you know, be able to say that Keith Lee is a former NXT champion when he goes up. So yeah, I do think that they've pushed Keith Lee should be on the main roster, and you don't give someone. We've had this conversation before in recent times, particularly in relation to AEW. But to give someone a monster plus just so they can lose like within like 2 months is just really stupid. So
oh.
I hope that was Kross. Even though I'm not I'm not saying I'm this great fan of Cross, but you just don't give someone that push and then immediately end it.
Yeah, and it's definitely been, because I guess it's one thing with AEW, I don't feel like they've done it quite as a long-term build-up as Karrion Kross has been. Just right. Because, what, his match Bronson Reed was one of his bigger matches, like, because I guess he started off and just crushed Ciampa, and it was just kind of like, where do you go from there? Like, that's kind of a hard one to recover from. Like, when you beat up the guy that's been champ for most of the last year, you know, not counting the injury time out, obviously. But, and he was talking about getting Goldie back. Like, whew, man, it's a tough act to follow. And yeah, like, Bronson Reed was one of those acts, and it was a decent one, but Cross has been built up, again, to kind of get back to your point, for so long. Like, I really think that he kind of needs the title anyway. And honestly, he would probably fit on the main roster pretty quickly himself, too. But I would imagine that he's going to get a longer run, though.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah. I mean, we're heading up on that post SummerSlam period. They're doing a draft again in October. So, yeah, a number of NXT talents are going to be moving up, and I hope it's a number of them who've been there a while.
Yeah, I just hope for their sake they're not part of Retribution. I feel sorry for anyone that's in Retribution, no matter who it might end up being, just because no one is going to deserve being in that faction for how lame it is. You know, it's the Riot Squad recycled. Except they're supposed to be more destructive than the Riot Squad, and they're basically as destructive as the Riot Squad. So, not really a good place to be in. I guess anything else to that kind of does it for NXT. Do we want to get to Raw at this point, or do we just want to mosey on out of here?
Let's mosey on out of here. Depending on how long NXT takes us on Saturday, or you know, however we're going to do Saturday, we actually need to talk about that off the air. Maybe we'll throw in a quickie SummerSlam preview or something of that sort.
Okie dokie. You'll hear from us again Saturday night, so you get to. It is probably best to mainly preview NXT, since that's really going to be our follow-up podcast to this one. And, see you Saturday night. I'm at Frango11. That's at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Pretty much any location that you can look, you can find us. And have a good night.
Later.